Welcome to the Next Level Income Show, where it's our goal to take your income, your investments, and your life to the next level. I'm your host, Chris Larson. You can get a free copy of our book at nextlevelincome.com. Just click on the book link. Also, if you'd like to learn more about our investments, click on the invest link to learn more about how you can get access to our institutional quality opportunities. On today's show, we have Justin Rothlingshofer. You can get a free copy of his Master Your Wearable in 6 minutes by checking out the show notes. Also, Justin's going to talk about how you can achieve 1% performance, not only in your financial life, but also in your everyday life. Today's show is sponsored by Money Insights and their Investment Optimizer strategy. In my book, I share how I use this same strategy starting over a decade ago to invest my money in two places at one time. This strategy has been used by the wealthiest for generations for estate planning, minimizing taxes, preserving wealth, and increasing stability for their investments. Now you can do the same thing. In addition, you can build a plan to build an emergency fund, pay for college, fund a business, plan for retirement, and ultimately optimize your total financial picture. To find out more information, check us out at the banking link at nextlevelincome.com. On today's show, we have Justin Rothlingshofer. Born in Canada, Justin found himself competing with older kids at the age of 13 years old. He became obsessed with performance, and the rest of his life became focused on the quest to optimize consistency. Justin is a performance coach for three different NHL teams, a five-year NCAA performance coach, NCAA champion, has an MS in human biology and performance science, and a postgraduate in functional medicine and HRV recovery studies. Justin Rothlingshofer. Did I say that right?
You got it.
Welcome to the show. I was repeating it to myself like it was a tongue twister for 5 minutes before we started talking here. So I still have to look at how to double look at how to spell it. But man, I can't tell you how excited I am to have you on. We talk about a lot of financial stuff on this podcast. But you know, people that know me, they know that I'm all about human performance. And that's kind of where my life started. And when I learned about your background, I'm just going to tell the audience straight out, we got a little bit of conflict of interest. You are my health coach. I hired you on the spot. And maybe we can tell a little bit about that story. But I scheduled this call with Justin, and lo and behold, I get diagnosed with COVID the day before our phone call. So we can talk a little bit more about that. But before we do it, Justin, I'd love for you to share more with the audience a little bit about your background and how you came to be in this role that you are with and the founder of Own It.
Yeah, so it's I appreciate you having me on, and it's so awesome to just be a part of like a community like this, Chris. It's people that are continually trying to level themselves up. I mean, in the Bible, it talks about iron sharpens iron, and that's really, to be honest, like the only way that we get better is by building those deep relationships. So I get you in your platform.
Yeah.
When I started Own It, it's funny. It's really a culmination of 20 years in the making. It's like anything that's done with a purpose. It took time to get there. Nothing happens overnight. And when I was 13 years old, I'll never forget it. My father came to me. I was a hockey player, born and raised in Canada. I was playing with 16-year-olds, and I was 13. And I was frustrated. Like I wasn't standing like I used to. And he said to me, son, talent will get you noticed, but consistency will get you paid. And it was forever me trying to figure out how to become the most consistent version of myself. What does it take to become consistent? We hear it all the time. Like it's anecdotal now. Is your habits create your destiny, or consistency will get you what you want, or it's all about consistency, or whatever it is. Like, but it's all anecdotal in nature. Like, what does that mean? What does that truly mean? And so that was at the team, my dad kind of just lit a spark that ignited into an absolute flame, and ultimately ended up creating something that really led to my overall like career. And that I think was the really exciting part, is that as I continue to go through my schooling, through my master's degree, my doctorate work, the experience through the NCAA, the NHL, and then ultimately to create Own It, it's always been a continual learning path. Is I continue to become more awoken to different scientific practices. It's the understanding of the spirit side of things. It's the understanding of the neurological science that goes into it, the behavioral science that goes into it, the physiological science that goes into it, and then culminating them all together to leave people with actionable insights, actionable steps that they can take and do and implement today to ultimately get a different result tomorrow. And that's what I think quite often is left out from the way in which we bring things into popular science or popular culture today is we leave out that stuff. And the only thing that goes in there is the sexy stuff. And that's not quite often what brings the sustainable results, if you will.
No, there's so much in there. And you know, that was one of the things I wrote down was your dad's quote. And again, that was talent will get you noticed. Consistency will get you paid. And it reminded me of, I think it was the book Mindset by Carol Dweck. And she talks about how it's not talent, it's habits that ultimately allow you to achieve success. But the challenge I think that we find, Justin, is a lot of people hear this. They know it. They're like, okay, I get it. I got to work hard. I got to build up these habits. But they're floating around, especially when it comes to diet and exercise, you know, even mental health. Like people don't know where to turn or how to measure these things. And you know, you're talking about the data guy. You're talking about when you were a teenager. This is what also drew me to you. You're wearing a heart rate monitor, brainwave sensors, HRV monitors. I had a heart rate. I thought it was the coolest thing when I had a heart rate monitor. You know, then I got a power meter on my bike. I thought that was, you know, I thought that was amazing because I didn't have the most talent. I had to work really, really hard. And one of my sons has a ton of talent. My older son, my younger son, not quite as physically gifted, but man, he has the habits and the discipline. So I guess, you know, you were performance director in the NCAA, also worked with multiple NHL teams, multiple athletes. What have you seen that has basically created that bridge from talent to results through habits, but with the implementation of data? Like what is really the key to bringing all that together in your mind?
So there are two things. Number one is that you're measuring something, that you are actually—
what's measured matters, problems. Right? What's measured matters, yeah.
Completely. Yeah. What gets measured gets noticed. What gets noticed gets paid attention to. What gets paid attention to can ultimately change. And if we're not measuring something, there's no way to go back and know if the decisions you made actually had an impact or not. So number one is actually that you're measuring something. And then number two is that you have somebody or a process that you know and trust that you can start to implement. And a lot of that usually comes from having a coach that can be outside eyes looking in and going, hey, your process is broken, this is not working, and making something applicable and actionable. Because again, data is great, but in our entire society, we're inundated with data. We're drowning in it. It's not that we have a data problem or an information problem. It's that we have an application problem. By knowing that and by admittingly living in that, we can now address the true problem that exists. And I'm sure all your listeners know, like, whether they're dealing with business or they're trying to learn estate or something financial or something in relationships or raising kids or their health, there's three phases, I call it. You've got your information phase. So everything that's down here at the bottom, where it's just a gathering, like what books can I read? What presentations can I go to? What podcasts can I listen to? What studies can I read? And then there's the third phase, which is transformation. Like once the transformative process is happening, it gets somewhere. So there's going to be a result. In between stage two is your maturation process. And that is hard. That takes time. That's not very sexy. It takes work. And what people think is that the fact they paid their dues, they've read a book, they've read a study, they've gone to a talk, they've listened to a presentation, that now they've earned the right to have that transformation process happen, and that there that maturation time in between doesn't exist anymore, which is again not true. So that is trying to, and again, can you time collapse the maturation process by who you involve with and who you get around? 150%, like totally. But every single person has to go through the maturation process. It's impossible not to.
Yeah. No, I love that. And on my bookshelf, I have The Secret. I don't know if you ever, you know, read The Secret or saw it. Aaron's like, oh, you have this vision, you know, you visualize. I think that's amazing. But right next to that book is my Tony Robbins course that I went through. And Tony says, you have to take massive action. And I think that's the key. Like a lot of people, they're like, oh, I learned about this, you know, technique, this, you know, investment strategy, whatever it might be. They see where they want to go, but they either aren't told how much action it takes, or even worse, they take a bunch of action and they're moving in the wrong direction. And that's the other thing that really, you know, really stood out to me when I first heard you present, is that your whole practice, maybe you could share a little bit more about kind of how you work with patients here, Justin, so the audience understands, but your practice is based upon genetics. And, you know, I'll give an example that, you know, that you and I talked about on my last coaching call. You said, hey, Chris, you need to eat more carbohydrates. And, you know, a lot of people are listening like, no, you don't eat carbs. That's how you get fat. But, you know, I added carbohydrates to my diet and I gained 12 pounds of muscle. I gained maybe a pound of fat. I gained 12 pounds of muscle eating carbs. So talk about how really this transformation in health is occurring right now and how you're applying the knowledge of genetics and how we're all different to the plans that you create. So people are taking massive action or taking action, doing the right things, and they know it.
Yeah, you literally had an amazing segue there for me, where part of our tagline is own your different, get used to different, because
unique is good.
Each one of us is different. You have to own your different. And for so long, we've been going with the generic diet, the generic sleep routine, the generic morning routine, the generic night routine, reading the books. Well, that's putting us in the ballpark of average. And who wants to be average? I don't.
Nobody.
That's not why I wake up every single morning. Yeah. So knowing that we have to, that each and every one of us is different, that we have different cellular makeups, we have different genetic makeups, we have different cellular dysfunction, we have different cellular mutation, we have different things going on internally, we've been through different traumas. Everybody is different. And we have to thus apply everything very different. We go back to that application process. You can have all the information in the world, but how you apply something in your life is going to get a different result than how somebody else applies it because of what you've been through. And if we don't take into account you're different, then we're going to wind up in a circle that brings down motivation, brings down your willingness to try again. And when we get into the habit, we can talk about how I actually start to discuss how do you build a habit and how do you break a bad habit? How do you adhere to a new habit? How do you make a habit stronger? Like there's a habit strength component we can talk about, but it all comes down to what's happening internally. And when we know what's happening internally, we can now make some
cellular level. Yeah. Like even
cellular level.
Totally.
And the reason we go to the cellular level is because that's where everything's occurring. That's where cellular mutation happens. That's where chronic disease starts. That's where nutrient dysfunction starts. It's not anywhere else, but at cell. And a big word that a lot of people are like really hot on right now, it's sexy. We go back to that sexiness in pop culture, but it's biological versus chronological age. Biological age is the one we can change. And everyone's like, oh, what's my biological age? What do we even know what you're looking at there? It's actually looking at cellular level stuff.
David Sinclair is big on that, right?
Completely. Yeah. And so if you start looking at what's going on at the cellular level, like what is your body taking in and utilizing from a micronutrient standpoint? At the cellular level, are you absorbing potassium, sodium, magnesium, vitamin A, vitamin D, iron, folate, zinc? Are you doing that? Or are you fatigued, or are you continuing to get, is your immune function dropping? Because even though you take a blood serum test, you have your lipids look great, your cholesterol levels look great, your vitamin levels all look great. But at the cellular level, you've got high levels of LPP, which is basically what carries cholesterol through your blood. So you're at higher risk for heart disease or cardiovascular disease. You're not absorbing B12 and folate. So thus, that's why your immune system's dropping. And that's why you're fatigued all the time. And because of all those things, remember, our body is one big machine. One thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. So if there's a process that's not working, our body just doesn't go, oh, we're going to shut that process down and just make you continue. No, it's going to start pulling from other things. And when it pulls from other things, now your liver starts working harder, your pancreas starts working harder, your heart work harder, your lungs work harder, your brain has to work harder in different ways. Certain toxins don't get cleared out. Other areas build up with toxins. And that's where we come into biological age. That's where we start to see you aging faster. You start to get predisposed to diseases that's supposed to happen at 80, 90, 100 years old, are happening at 40, 50, 60 years old. And these are the things that we're able to now tap into and to completely change, let alone how it affects your performance, how it affects your sleep, how it affects your mood, how it affects everything else in which you're operating in.
Everything. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you know, being in medical device sales for years, you're on call, you're working long hours, sometimes 100-hour weeks, you know? So if you're listening, you probably are nodding your head like, yeah, I work a lot. And I used to tell the reps I trained, I said, look, you got to live like a professional athlete. You know, you got to take care of yourself. I was like, you can't, your brain is not going to function at your peak mental state if your body's not there. So I think all the stuff that you've learned, you know, from working with athletes, you know, if you're a high performer, whatever level, this makes so much sense. And you know, the other thing that, you know, maybe you can add on to, Justin, is that a lot of people, I remember reading, I don't know, about maybe 8 years ago, you know, there's the paleo diet, there's the Atkins diet, there's the low fat, low carb diet. And, you know, the article was talking about how like these diets work for about 25% of people. And the reason is, you know, you have people that fall into these different genetic buckets. So if you're struggling and you're like, I can't find anything that works, again, you know, I took my example, you know, it was like, I was shocked when my doctor told me you got to eat more carbs. Like it blew my mind, but it made sense. Like in my head, I'm like, yeah, I feel better when I do that. So I don't know if you have anything else to add on top of that. You kind of reset it.
It comes back to knowing that, again, we've tried to just paint this generic brush across the board. We adopt certain things. And of course, there's going to be stories where they lost 100 pounds, they lost 50 pounds, they lost 30 pounds. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but like it's kind of a catch-22, and I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth here. One is, any of those diets you're talking about work. Any of them work. They all work, but they might not just work for you. They may not work for you.
Right, right.
And this is what we want to get an understanding of, is what works for you. And we are we're in the business of shaving things away. I tell this story all the time, where you go back to Michelangelo, when Michelangelo looked at this big marble slab, okay, and he had created David and it was amazing, and he said to him, how did you create David? And he goes, David was always in this marble slab. I just needed to take away everything that wasn't David. It's no different than you. Is we just need to figure out and eliminate everything in your life that isn't creating the best version of Chris. What are you doing right now that you're thinking is helping you, but it's actually not? And that's where we come back to our eight controllables. Is it a hydration place? Is it in exercise, nutrition, sleep, immune function, environment, mindset, self-care? Those eight areas that impact HRV tell us how much stress we're under and how we're adapting to that stress. What do we have to start to strip away? And once we strip those things away, you're left with what's most powerful for Chris. And when we know what's most powerful for you, you can lean in, double, triple, quadruple down on what's going to get you the results that truly matter. And when we know what those things are at the umpteenth degree, and we can really, again, level up in those areas, that's why we start to see massive change. And when we see massive change, what does it do? It increases adherence, it increases motivation, increases all these things neurologically. And we get back to that neuroscience component that is amazing because our brains are the most powerful thing in our bodies.
No, it's, and it makes it easier. The results come faster. They come easier. And, you know, it's more natural. It's like doing what your natural talents are. So whether you're a hockey player or a cyclist or, how that works. I'm wearing this ring, or actually I just took it off here. It's an Oura ring, Justin. I know, yeah. The first time I heard you talk, you were talking about how to interpret, some of the information in that. And that's how I picked up that I had COVID 2 days before I had symptoms. Your postgraduate work is in HRV, right? HRV, was it recovery studies, I believe, is what it was. I think, you know, almost everybody now knows what heart rate is. Like, oh, you can take your heart rate. You know, it's one of these metrics. HRV, and I believe you've worked with the Whoop Strap company.
Yep.
So I'd love for you to talk about
that. I've got both those guys.
I love it. I'm still waiting on my Whoop 4 coming in, man.
I have wearables on top of wearables, on top of monitors, on top of Gidgets and Gazmos, and or I think it's Gazmos and Gidgets or whatever. It's my dyslexia coming in.
We'll stick to the ones that we can. We'll stick to the ones that we can see on your hands and wrists right now. The gadgets we're going to talk about today, but yeah. So talk about, like, what is HRV? How can you interpret? So if people have heard of an Oura ring or a Whoop strap or even the Apple Watch, right? What are some of the metrics that we have now that have come up? You know, how do you use those in your practice? And, you know, how can people interpret some of these to help get the results they're looking for?
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's a great question. And what we go back to what I talked about at the beginning, where information oftentimes is what's overloading us. Yeah. And the wearables now have become so powerful. Like, I remember back in 2008 when I was really kind of leaning in on this stuff and studying it in the labs. And the only times that you could really get access to this was like in a university lab or that type of setting where you're bringing people in. It was like an ordeal to get this data.
Yeah.
Now you've got a device on your wrist that's available to people who don't know the difference between an apple and an avocado. And it's like, why can't we figure this out? It's like, it's no wonder what's happened here is we've got these amazingly powerful tools, Oura, Whoop, Apple, Polar, Garmin, Fitbit, you name it. There's a bunch of them out there, Coros. But when you start to utilize these things, like, okay, I've got respiration rate, I've got body temperature, I've got resting heart rate, I've got peak heart rate, I've got average heart rate, I've got heart rate variability, I've got REM sleep stages, I've got slow wave sleep stages, I've got total sleep stages. I'm just like, oh my God. Like, yeah. I've got algorithmic recovery scores. I've got
just give me green, yellow, red.
and then the problem with that is when you simplify it, is it that we go back to what we talked about, is it's not that simple to paint it with a generic brush because every one of us is different. Why you're yellow is different than why I'm yellow. And we need to understand that because the habit that you're going to have to take or the action step that you're going to have to take is different than what I'm going to have to do. Because we might both be yellow. Let's just call it that. We might both be yellow. You go, you know what? I just have to have a great night's sleep tonight. You have half a bottle of wine before you go to bed. And I go, you know what? I have work to do. I just need to focus on this. And I go to bed 3 hours after you. I get less total sleep, but before I go to bed, I do my meditation, I do some foam rolling, I do some soft tissue work, and I ultimately wake up in the morning and have a green recovery, you have a yellow. And you're like, well, what the heck? I got more sleep than you, and you worked late, and it's all of these things. None of us are the same, and we're all respond differently. And so that's why when you ask me about a metric that matters, I always come back to heart rate variability. And what heart rate variability means is it's literally a language. It's the way in which your body communicates. And what it's communicating is how it's adapting to the stress or strain that you're placing on your body. Now, here's the crazy thing is that your body doesn't know the difference between mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional stress. So I want you to think about this for a second. And this comment is overarching. Everything in our world is stressful. Everything is stress. This podcast, you and me right here, this is a stressor on both of us. My butt sand, feet in the water, sipping on a margarita is stress. Me chasing down a taxi in the rain, late for a meeting with my briefcase opening and the wind blowing in my face in New York City with the noise howling is a stress. They all fall differently on the spectrum of 0 to 100 of what my body considers stress. But everything is stress. We have to understand that. And so by knowing that, when we come into accumulation, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, your dog died, you're moving, you're getting on a plane, you've got a business meeting, you're working out, you're putting inflammatory foods in your body, you're dehydrated, you're in a fight with your spouse, your kids are going off the wall, you're having to take your kids to and from sporting events. Keep naming different ones. You've got
keep your going. I'm just shaking my head up and down.
You've got renovations going on at your home. All of these things, they're all stressors that our body has to process and ultimately are going to determine our performance at the end of the day, which the only thing people are often thinking about is, I just have to eat well, I have to sleep, and I have to get my exercise in. Those are the three things that they're like, I'll do these things, and away we go. That's why through all the studies done, everything I've looked at, it all comes down to eight controllables that impact HRV and stress adaptation, or stress optimization is what we like to call it. And it's what I mentioned before. It is your exercise / movement. It's hydration. It's nutrition. It's sleep. It's immune function. It's self-care. It's environment, and it's mindset. Those eight controllables help to create what we call, again, if you're listening to this, I want you to try and picture this, create the four levels. So the outer level, the outer circle is physical. This, the circle inside is emotional. The circle inside is mental. The circle inside is spiritual. If we do not have a big physical, if we don't have a big capacity, the ability to handle more, do more, be more, I don't care how much you work on the mental game, the emotional game, or the spiritual, you will never be able to do or handle more. To build capacity, it starts by opening up that outer circle. Now, sustainability, that spiritual circle has to be so connected to that purpose. And that's what creates sustainability. That's what maintains staying power. And that's where we're able to start really being this massive triple threat, if you will, because you've got an engine and you've got a purpose that goes. And those are your one percenters. Those are the people that you want to be. Those are the people that have owned their different. And once you've owned your different, you get used to that. And that's the people that change the world.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what I love is I work with my wife, your wife. I had a great call with her, talking about that spiritual component and really blending all these things together. So I guess before we wrap up here, Justin, I got a couple more things, but tell us how you work together with the two of you, and how Elise really focuses on kind of that spiritual side and really rounding out the triple threat package.
Yeah. So we look at basically divided it into two areas. It's what we call it inner energy and outer energy. So Your inner energy piece is more that mindset component, that spiritual energy that really gets connected to something, really allows you to move forward, and allows any habit, anything that you're doing, to really be rootedly within you to create sustainability. The outer energy component, that's everything that we just spoke about, from the cellular levels, the genetic portions, the data component that allows these habits to become real. And by doing these two, we end up rooting what we call your habit strength index, like truly being able to own these habits. Are they rooted deeply, or are they rooted at a high level? And there's a couple ways that we start to dive each of these habits, like within each controllable. Like each controllable can have like 50 different habits that we can operate in, but which ones mean something to you? And we really start to look at what they mean to each person, how we need to start personalizing them, how we need to start creating these changes. And we operationalize it in a really deep way. Now, the two things that I want to come back to here is with anybody, when we're trying to break a habit or we're trying to start a new one, it needs to be rooted in two things. Two things will determine success. One is context dependent, or is it context independent? So context dependent would be, I work out at 7:30 every morning in my home gym. Well, what happens when you go on the road to a hotel and you have a meeting at 7:30? And is it that, oh, your body doesn't know that it needs to work out anymore because you're not at home? And it's that habit is context dependent. Drops your level of success and adherence. But now if you're context independent, you work out somewhere between 6 and 8 a.m. You have a really good understanding of what you need to do for your body. And no matter what, you wake up, you're on the road. Now you're going to go run instead because you're not contextually bound to your gym at your home. The second thing is understanding limbic friction. So you have this frontal cortex that determines behaviors. And there's going to be friction or the need for a conscious override of any behavior or state in order to change that behavior. So we talk about stress. Mental and emotional stress comes in. And so if there's a lot of mental stress or limbic friction over completing something, that's what people say, do your hardest things first thing in the morning, because that's where you have the most likely ability. It's rooted in neuroscience. It's the greatest likelihood that you're going to overcome that limbic friction. And so by doing this, we're able to start, again, creating habits. There's four stages of creating a habit that are going to move us forward. It's one, create a plan; two, generate a routine. From there, routine is the hardest place we're ever in. We have to create literally militant structure. And the reason we create militant structure is we overcome limbic friction and ultimately create the plan set around context independence. Because if we compare the two, where limbic friction is minimized and they're context independent, it maximizes our ability to have long-term success. So by doing this, think about this, by doing this, it goes plan to routine, to rhythm, to instinct. And all of a sudden it becomes instinctual, that we just start doing things. We do things out of instinct. And all of a sudden, this thing that was so hard, getting up and working out first thing in the morning, or meditating at noon, or meditating at some point throughout the day, or not responding out of frustration, but responding in curiosity, all of a sudden becomes instinctual to us, that prior it wasn't. And Elise says something that is just so brilliant, is it takes us from living in a subconscious world to live in a conscious world. Yeah. And so many of us live subconsciously, where we live by our reactions. We live by what comes to us naturally, rather than being conscious about it and truly owning, going back to, like, pardon the pun, but owning our different and owning our choices and owning who we are. And the moment we do that, again, you become the 1%.
I love it. And man, Justin, I feel like I only got through like half of the things that I wanted to talk about. We might have to have you back on. But before we wrap up, you know, tell the audience, how can they learn more about Own It? How can they get in touch with you if they want to learn more about what you all do?
Yeah, so the best place to go to learn more about Own It specifically is at ownitcoaching.com. And then several ways to reach out to us through there. But post a ton of free content on my YouTube and Instagram channels, which is at Justin Roth, R-O-E-T-H. So those are the best ways. And again, very interactive with our audience and those out there. So anybody that reaches out, we're always getting back to you really quick.
Awesome. And I mentioned at the top of the show how the audience can get your Master Your Wearable in 6 minutes. We're going to have all the links that you just mentioned, as well as how to get that, in the show notes. But Justin, thank you again for bringing all the value to the audience. And like I said, we might have to have you back on to dive even deeper into some of these things that you are helping people to achieve that 1% lifestyle. Thank you.
I love it, Chris. I appreciate it.
Hey, Chris here again. I hope you found this episode valuable. Now, I have one more thing to gift you. We have a page for my coaching clients where you can get a free copy of my book, as well as much more from previous guests on the show. Just check out nextlevelincome.com/coaching to get a free copy of my book, audiobook, and much more. I'll send you a copy of my book and cover all the shipping costs as a thank you for listening to the podcast. Also, please like, share, and take just 90 seconds to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts.